Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. The Rick Smith Show.
Another episode of As the Stormy Turns. Evidently, Michael Cohen, the lawyer. And again, you got to love having friends who are willing to mortgage their homes to hush up your extramarital affair. I guess on a certain level, and there's a friend who says that, you know what? He would have done it regardless. Didn't matter that there was a campaign. Didn't matter if it was 2006 or 2011. Not quite sure why he pulled 6 and 11 out. Perhaps there were payoffs back then. We should probably check. But he said it didn't matter. If it was 2006 or 2011, he would have done the exact same thing. And you go, what a buddy. What a buddy. Going to mortgage his home. And you got to wonder how many of these, now that we hear that there are 6 more Stormy Daniel type stories out there, you just kind of got to wonder. Anyway, just my thought. So you got to wonder how the pressure is doing. If you looked at the erratic behavior of our president, very interesting weekend. And here to share some of her thoughts on how the commander in chief or instability in chief is doing. We've asked our good friend Propane Jane to come talk with us. Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
So craziness, lots of fun, lots of you know, I was thinking Hope Hicks is gone. There's probably nobody to help rail him in.
No, there never was anyone. I mean, this is just like, you know, the same assortment of people who are failing miserably at trying to contain him. And it really doesn't matter who's there or who's not there. You know, the dysfunction is within him. And, you know, everything that emanates from him. So there's nothing anybody can do about it.
You would think someone would put something in his ice cream or something.
Well, I mean,
for the good of the country, Jane.
Well, I mean, you know, they did his medical report and they didn't seem to find anything, you know, that would show us that they're drugging him with something. And even beyond that, I mean, This is his personality. I mean, this is just who this man is, as we always talk about. You know, like I said over a year ago, at the outset of his sham presidency, I call him instability in chief because he's so unstable. And the reason why he is unstable is because, you know, everything that's happening around his administration, everything that's coming out in the news from week to week to week is chaotic. It's a disaster. You know, it's problematic. It's something that he does not have control over. And so week after week, day in, day out, he sees this message and it's getting to him. You know, they haven't been able to insulate him from this reality, even though he, you know, claims it's fake news. And so basically he feels helpless. He feels like he can't do anything to change the situation, and why aren't his poll numbers getting any better, and why aren't people listening to his side of the story? And so in that sort of desperation and in his frantic state of being, he just makes these really rash decisions because it's like, I just want to do something that's going to fix the problem. And, you know, as of yet, what seems to be, you know, again, White House celebrity apprentice, that he just fires people. And that characteristic, you're fired, I mean, ultimately, that, it turns out, that wasn't just a show. That's like a coping mechanism, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, I would have expected there to be a production where he would have called people into the Oval Office and had, you know, plastic on the floor or something, something really dramatic, like, you know, you're fired, you know, something, you know, the money shot, if you will, which is...
Well.
Not where I really wanted to go with that, but...
No, yeah, but I know what you mean. But, I mean, again, that actually requires, like, a staff of producers and, you know, people who it's their job to create this show and to make it make sense and to fit into commercial, you know, in between commercials, et cetera, et cetera. But there is no such person in this administration. And, you know, I think what is becoming more and more apparent is that, you know, this is like just off the cuff, heat of the moment, you know, something goes down. I mean, I sort of feel bad for Rex Tillerson in the sense that, like, his firing has, like, gotten overshadowed. I mean, like,
yeah,
he fired at the beginning of the week.
Not a bit. Not a bit.
No, I'm just kidding.
But here's the thing. I mean, you would think at least he'd have, like, a button on his desk that would be of him from The Apprentice Show. You'd press it. You're fired. Firing somebody with a tweet, so anticlimactic.
Well, but, you know, again, this is how his brain works, okay? Like, he's hearing something, he's seeing something, he's finding out some piece of information, and he's literally just there on his phone and like, you know what, I don't like that guy. He's out of here. I've had enough. And this is how Rex Tillerson actually found out that he was fired. So there wasn't even, like, the time to put together that pomp and circumstance and, like, show and production of it, you know, in traditional Trump style. Because he really is being led around by his emotions. And he may not have actually even set out to do that up until the very moment that he did it in that tweet. And then he couldn't walk it back because, you know.
You can't delete that fast enough because everybody was screenshotting it then, right?
Right. I mean, at that point, it's out there, and which is one of the risks of having, right, the Twitter presidency. But I do very much, you know, feel like, you know, the firings are increasing in terms of just the frequency with which people are getting fired and leaving this White House. On the one hand, because people are just exasperated and they know it's a disaster, and they just are getting out now to save face, or because Trump is just so erratic and he's so disgruntled.
He's got to be unbearable.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, it's just a cesspool at this point. And so I'm really not surprised that the firings are continuing apace at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I just can't imagine the the amount of stress working in that office, of, you know, walking on eggshells because, you know, it could be you thrown out with no coat,
yeah.
His personal assistant. You go, really, you're going to throw the guy out without his coat? I guess he meant that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I mean, now what I think is so interesting is that it really does seem to be that anyone who dares acknowledge that Russia interfered with our election and that there was collusion, you know, like those are just the evil words to him. And so, you know, according to him, there was no collusion. He's completely innocent of all wrongdoing. And so anyone who utters out of their mouth that, you know, Russia actually had an impact on our election to the degree that we need to actually do something about it and be proactive about preventing it from happening again, Trump is not even, you know, he cannot even allow his mind to go down that road. And so he's completely just disavowing it, and he's completely disappearing the people who say things like that.
Yeah, and completely void of facts. I mean, the one tweet, you know, he asked the question, you know, why does the Mueller team have 13 hardened Democrats, some big crooked Hillary supporters, and zero Republicans? Mueller was a lifelong Republican. I'm sorry to have to say that, but he's a lifelong Republican. He may not be the crazy Republican that we have now, but he's been a lifelong Republican.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, anybody who he doesn't like and he feels like is not on his side is, you know, now, I guess, in the classified as a Democrat.
Yeah, if they weren't going to sign the loyalty pledge and the non-disclosure, and, you know, is it surprising to you that he would have people sign non-disclosure agreements, knowing that there's just no way that they would be enforceable because you work for the government?
No. No, absolutely not. And this is what we talked about, I believe it was last week, when you were asking me about Melania and whether or not there might be some clause or, you know, like in a prenuptial agreement about infidelity. And you know, I sort of just brought up his past with these non-disclosure agreements with his ex-wives and how it really seems like what he's more focused on is not wanting unflattering things about himself to be out in, you know, the media. He doesn't want that information to get out to the public. And I think, you know, it's not so much that it's enforceable in, like, a court of law to the extent that I think he wants people to think it would be. But I think he uses that as a scare tactic, and just that whole mental process of making you read something and sign it, it is to manipulate you, and it is to make you feel afraid of saying something and to put you in this culture of, you know, everything that is said and done within this Trump organization, I have to be loyal to Trump first and foremost, and this is confidential. And only stays between us and Trump and not the outside world. And I think that's something that he wants to kind of make that gangster code, that mafia code that we always talk about, for anybody that works with him under any circumstance, even in this administration.
Yeah, I mean, but there are those who are saying, how does this not end up taking us down? How does this not end up, with us in a war? How do we make sure that him devolving into this this neurotic, this manic mess, how does this not take us down?
We can't make sure of that. I don't think at any moment in, 1861 or 1776 that they thought, what if we
had a lunatic in the White House?
I mean, they got up and they did what they needed to do, and they fought for the Union. They fought for democracy. They fought for this country and what we, are claiming it stands for and the values that we claim to stand for. And so I don't think that they were really sitting around going, oh, well, what if, guys get mad and they have guns and blah, 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 blah. I mean, yes, they had guns, and yes, wars were fought. Again, wars are fought all over the world. And so I think there's sort of this, fear that people have of, that puts us into a learned helplessness that sort of, people sort of think, well, this could be the worst case scenario that could happen. And because I'm thinking of the worst possible outcome, I'm just going to avoid doing anything at all.
Yeah, well, do the thoughts and prayers thing.
Because that
works so well.
Right, and then you're in paralysis, exactly.
So, I saw the tweet, and again, of him, throwing out the crooked Hillary thing. And, I was thinking of you, and I was going, I was thinking, how healthy is it for someone to have this kind of obsession on one person, to have this kind of focus? And, even as a society, I uh-huh. think we've got a large segment of our population who they're focused on Hillary and Obama. Whenever you say something, Trump, gave away $1.5 billion to the very wealthy. I get, well, crooked Hillary, she screwed up Benghazi. I'm going, what has that got to do with the other? Well, the tax cuts went to the over. Well, Obama married a man. What? But you get this kind of insanity,
yeah.
And you go, this obsession where everything has to be but Hillary, but Obama. Yeah. I'm going, they're not president. They're not. They can control a trip to the zoo, but nothing else for me.
Yeah, but in those people's minds, Hillary and Obama actually do occupy a considerable amount of space. And so this is sort of where the paradox goes, right? That sort of, as much time as these people spend, vilifying, Hillary, Obama, et cetera, they are literally obsessed with them. They want the same things that these people, they want the popularity. Even Trump, when he first started, moving into the White House, he was so curious to know, well, how did the Obamas decorate and how did the Clintons decorate? And he's so self-conscious about his inauguration crowd and how many people showed up for me versus how many people showed up for that guy. And Hillary, he has this monkey on his back, that she beat him by almost 3 million more votes. And that does haunt him. And I think, I don't know if you ever, in your lifespan ever did something wrong to someone that you knew was really wrong, but you didn't face it to them and say, hey, I screwed you over. I'm sorry. And I don't know if that ever happened to you and it just sort of stuck with you, like that guilt or that just knowledge in your mind that you didn't necessarily do right by a person, and are you going to be you know, punished for, not by that person in particular, but, you know, the universe.
Karma.
Or, you know, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Karma or whatever God you believe in. And I truly do believe that this is a man who knows that he is not the rightful president of the United States of America. And he knows that steps were taken either willfully on his part or on his behalf by, you know, foreign adversaries, Russia in particular, to put him there when he was not supposed to be there and she was. And I think that drives him completely up a wall. And that's why he always goes back to that. And he's constantly calling her Crooked Hillary. And it's nothing but projection.
Interesting. So yeah. Where does this end for him? I mean, you know, look, it's all, the pressure's only going to get more as the Mueller investigation continues, if he allows it. I still think by the end of the week, I'm expecting Mueller to be fired. But that's my thought. You know, and then that's when the fun really begins, to see what happens in this country. Do people take to the streets? Do we shut things down? Do you see mass chaos? You know, is there tear gas in the streets and, you know, police beating people with clubs? I don't know. I hope not. But if he fires Mueller, we're in a constitutional crisis moment.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm in the camp of people that feels like we were in a constitutional crisis, like, on November 9th, 2016, or at least for sure by the time the Electoral College certified the vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
But beyond that, you know, I think what we need to always sort of remember, because obviously the threat of him firing Mueller has always been there in the shadows. But I think beyond that, what's more important to think about is the fact that the Republican Party does not need Donald Trump to fire Robert Mueller to impeach him. They don't need anything else to happen, like, disastrous for them to make that decision. He's already done enough things that are impeachable offenses. Certainly by the standards that we've seen in recent history, or just going back in American history of American presidents. And so for us to sort of be like hanging on the, you know, edge of our seat, waiting for him to do something else more drastic or more detrimental to our democracy and our government is sort of like, I think that's sort of where the voyeurism is coming in. Like, people don't necessarily, like, they want to kind of see what's going to happen. But to this point, he's already committed things that look like obstruction of justice. He's already fired people without good cause. And I think that in terms of his behavior, the racism, the way he insults people, the way he's just so ignorant of everything he's supposed to be doing, the fact that so much of the country is against this man, he could have been impeached, you know, a year ago. And that's just something that the Republican Party is making a choice not to do.
Are you surprised by the deafening silence that we're getting from the Republicans? I mean, you've got Lindsey Graham. That's about it.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, because what they don't want to say, and they don't ever want to have to go on record saying, is that they find this man unable to lead and unable to represent them. And I think Lindsey Graham is sort of the person that they make their sacrificial lamb, that he can kind of go out and say, you know, he's sort of this respected, because he sits on these high-powered committees in the Senate, and he can kind of go out and say the, you know, party line that's not really the party line, and that quiets everything down. But he's spot on what he's saying. I mean, when he's saying that would be the beginning of the end of his presidency, he means that 100%. And I know that the rest of the Republican Party is too afraid to actually come out and say that on record, because, again, they're fearful that their constituents are going to raise holy hell and be burning, you know, tiki torches and stuff outside of their offices. But, again, they, I think, secretly are hoping that Mueller's investigation will continue and will give them an out, and that they won't have to find, you know, all the reasons that are there to impeach this man without the Mueller piece. They want to let that Mueller piece be the thing that puts them over the finish line. That's why I think they're just sitting back and letting Mueller do his job.
And the hope is that he's allowed to do his job.
Right.
You know, my fear is that Trump fires him and that the Republicans remain silent. That's one of the main concerns that I have, because, you know, I look at what the House Intelligence Committee did. You know, they said, well, there's nothing to see. Move along. And you go, wait a second. That's not quite right.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that, you know, if you can sort of think to yourself that if you can just expect that guilty people are going to do guilty things, and they're going to behave in ways that are unbecoming, they're going to behave in ways that are undignified, and that they are going to make, you know, excuse after excuse after excuse, and they are going to just leave this man so that they can grab whatever power they can and pass however many bills they can that are in their own favor and please however many donors that they can. I mean, you know, ultimately that's what they're doing. But the issue is, again, what the American public sees, and they continue to see a Republican Party that is not setting any boundaries, and that's not reining this man in. And you know, poll after poll just show, you know, the American public seeing him as very guilty, and feeling like there actually is something to the Mueller investigation, and actually, you know, lend way more credibility to Robert Mueller. It's something like 2-1, you know, that trust Mueller more than they trust Donald Trump. And so the public perception of anything that's done to, you know, in the investigation, again, is only going to make Donald Trump and the entire Republican Party look guilty. So I dare them. I actually dare them to just continue to do this.
Yeah, which is why you're seeing the assault on Mueller, and which is why you're seeing these cheap attacks. Last question I've got for you. You know, someone, you know, tweeted over that, you know, how do you see this ending for him? I mean, is there a predictable path at which someone who suffers from the kind of mental problems that we think he suffers from, is there a predictable path towards demise, or is it who knows?
Well, I said this probably a couple of months ago on Twitter, that what's so interesting about Donald Trump is that, you know, though he is very severely, I think, personality disordered. Again, this is just my own perception of the man. Even though the extent to which he is impaired by, you know, his personality traits is very extensive, because of his generational wealth, because of the fact that he's a, you know, powerful white man and he's been successful in business, he has evaded the consequences that generally befall someone who's just an average person, you know, who's a sociopath or an average narcissist in everyday life, that ultimately, you know, all of their relationships fall apart, they can't hold down a job. You know, maybe they, you know, end up with a substance abuse problem. Maybe they end up committing a crime that lands them in jail or prison. These are all things that certainly Trump has had happen to him in his lifetime. But, you know, he was able to, you know, not go to jail, just pay some settlements here and there. He had enough money to pay people off. You know, he's
got friends who'll take out a mortgage to pay off, you know, porn stars. You know, yeah.
Exactly. He's able to get his lawyers to basically sign this loyalty pledge to him that he'll, you know, they'll do whatever he asks them to do. You know, he's surrounded by yes people. So for someone like him, we are seeing, you know, what does not happen actually to the average person who has this type of thing going on. This man has actually been elevated to the presidency, unfortunately. And so it's hard to really say. I mean, you know, if no, you know, theoretically what would happen is that, you know, society, the world around him, the walls would close in and there would be some boundary put there to stop him from doing what he's doing. But thus far, again, you know, we as a society are not serving as that barrier. And so he's just continuing to go on and on and on like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, so you're not seeing any people with white coats coming to take him away?
No. I mean, I think that he is going to, you know, continue to be very erratic, but I don't necessarily think that he is going to get to a point where he could be involuntarily committed. I don't necessarily see that happening. And that's the challenge when you're talking about a personality disorder. Again, these are people who, you know, have the wherewithal to make better choices. They just choose not to make those better choices. And, you know, Trump feels the way he feels about people, and the way he feels about conducting his business because it's worked for him. And even though it may destroy people's lives in the process, it works for him, and he hasn't been proven, you know, unfortunately, what has happened to prove otherwise to him to this point.
Excellent point. Something to make sure that we keep an eye on. Jane, yeah. I appreciate the time. It's always fun, always educational, always entertaining. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. You have a great week.
You too, our good friend Propane Jane. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
It is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.